everybody. Welcome to Unapologetic Live. Happy Monday. Today, we're going to be reacting to another Jubilee video called Do All Trans Teens Think the Same? For all the OGs who are listening right now, you guys know the drill. And for the newbies, we'll explain after this. Yo, welcome back to Unapologetic Live. Happy Monday. Hope you guys had a fantastic weekend. I spent mine in Palo Alto with my boyfriend, which was very fun. Taylor, what'd you do?
I went to the beach and went to church and just hung out and watched football.
Pretty chill. So we switch roles. Normally, Taylor's, you know, trouncing around the world doing things. And
gallivanting.
Yeah, and I'm sitting at home doing nothing. And now we switched.
Well, so, what's it like to be fun?
What's it like? I don't, you know, it was cool. I'm keeping everybody on their toes. You know, I like to switch it up every now and then. guys, we're going to be reacting to a Jubilee video. They have a Spectrum series. This one is called Do All Trans Teens Think the Same? For those of you who are new here, what Jubilee does with these videos is they bring a group of people together, typically part of the same community. It could be black people, trans people, gay people, whatever, you name it. They bring them together, ask them a series of questions or give them a statement, and they get to decide whether they strongly disagree or strongly agree, and it exists on a spectrum, and then they have the conversation. Today we're talking trans teens, and we're gonna get right into it. Without further ado, let's hear it.
I would date a cisgendered individual.
Okay, topic number one is I would date a cisgender individual. So I already disagree with the framing of the statement, but you can get into that. I guess cisgender, to me, in my opinion, does not exist. I think that we have men and we have women. I think cisgender is a generally new term created to identify people who were born women and continue to identify as women. So for those of you who don't know what cisgendered means, that's what it means. I qualify as a cisgender woman, and Taylor qualifies as a cisgender man, in case you weren't aware. I know it was a little hazy on that, maybe, but that's how we identify. So would I date a cisgender individual? Absolutely. Currently am. Taylor?
Yeah, with all of the caveats that you just gave, that I don't think cisgender is a term that we should use because it's all this imaginary world. Yes, I would. I mean, I'm married to a woman, so there it is.
So strongly agree on this one. Let's see where our teens land.
3, 2, 1.
That's what you expected.
I've
okay.
These people in the past, and like every time, like especially because like I'm assigned female at birth and non-binary. Like if I'm dating like a man, he typically just sees me as a woman. Like, I saw a TikTok literally yesterday. It was like, have you all ever been with a they, them woman? I was like, that is so, like no. If you can't see me as non-binary, I cannot be seen outside with you. Like,
Okay, so interesting. We heard from this first non-binary person?
I gotta be honest, I'm like, this one's tough for me. So I'm
Taylor's
kind of
like, I'm gonna have
whole
to bite my tongue a little bit watching this video. I'm gonna try to navigate this as, you know, somebody who's being introduced to this topic and, you know, just has the normal general questions. In fact, I'll even try to adjust to this video and try to respect the different identities of these teenagers, because we're talking teenagers, okay? So when I was a teenager, you guys know, I got this stupid ass BLM tattoo on my arm and thought I was going to be, you know, all black power run the world. Who run the world? Girls over here, girl boss. Anyways, and now I am not that at all. So I'll give them a little bit of, you know, leeway here, because I've told this story before. Maybe it's a story. I literally, when I was like 15, told my mom I was bisexual. Why? Because it was just the common thought of the time to be like, oh, sexuality exists on a spectrum, therefore nobody's truly straight. I know some of you guys probably heard that before, but that was like a huge thing at my school. Nobody's really straight, like nobody's really even homosexual. Everything exists on a spectrum. Like, you'll like somebody here, you'll like somebody there. So I was like, I know I've liked boys this whole time. I know I've only ever had crushes on boys, but I must be bisexual, right? Because sexuality is a spectrum, and also it's trendy to be something other than straight. So I was like, Mom, I'm bisexual, and all this stuff. So like, totally could have been me, as a teenager in this Jubilee video.
And I could say I identify with that, with that, right. Or that resonates with me, I should say. I don't want to introduce confusing language around identification. But when you're in adolescence, it's a very malleable time. It's a time where you are easily influenced by ideologies, where you're easily influenced by other people. And I think we are in a climate now where the dominant ideology that is influencing young people is a lot of this gender stuff. And that's why it seems so much more prevalent now than in prior generations. But in the same way that the BLM movements and that you found meaning in that as a young person and kind of got swept in over your head with it. I had a similar experience with my Christian faith. And I went like super all in. Like I joined a youth internship and was in this quasi cultish level of like devotion and authority structures and all this stuff. But in my personal world, this is like, I'm involved in the most meaningful thing in the world. And I have to, you know, go save the world all myself, and the weight's on my shoulders. And it's a similar concept. Now I'm still a Christian, but I've become more moderate and incorporated that into a worldview that actually works and maps onto reality. But I feel like this transgenderism is one of these ideologies that is just getting young people swept up in.
Yeah, today. I feel like as teenagers, we all like pick a thing and like that's your thing.
Yeah,
that's for the rest of your you know, whatever phase you're in, that's your thing. And like you're the most hardcore person about it. All of your friends are created, or the people that you meet, to revolve around that certain thing. And you just feel so much dedication to that. And it's probably an ego thing as teens too. Like we think we know so much and we think we know exactly who we are at the time. But let's keep watching. Also, I want to speak to her experience because we didn't even get to that part. She's saying, you know, the reason I might not date a cisgendered person, meaning biological male or biological female, is because they'll always see me as a woman. And, you know, I get maybe having this identity and going, well, I want somebody to see me as the identity that I have, but we also have to acknowledge reality. Like, she looks pretty overtly female. Like, she's got a very feminine face. I can imagine, even for somebody who subscribes to the idea of gender theory and being able to identify as non-binary, would have trouble on any given day, like constantly identifying you as they, them. I'm sure even people who are totally devoted slip up all the time because you look like a woman, and that's just about it.
With women that are cis, like it's more welcoming, but like people, like they perceive us as like a lesbian couple.
What's up?
No, never mind. We're good. Sorry. I'm having some technical difficulties here with the show. Keep going.
No worries. Okay, we're going
to
keep going.
Not really like what I'm trying to do.
At my age, boys kind of come into themselves and their desires. And it's just weird because they either want one thing or another thing. And usually, like, I'm subject to be fetishized. Like, some guys will, like, come at me and, like, be like, yeah, like, you're, like, the best of both worlds. And I'm like, girl, this is not Hannah Montana.
Dude, that was my immediate thought, Hannah Montana. You get the best of both worlds. anyways, but outside of that, I could see that probably being a thing, you know? So transgenderism, it's not new, guys. I get it. It's not new, but it is relatively new at the rate that we're seeing it. So if people are just being introduced to something and it is new, it is other, you're going to be seen or sought out for being new or being other. That means like girls who seek out dating trans people or guys who seek out dating trans people might have that idea of I am getting the best of both worlds, or at least I'm getting something that's unique that I can identify with, which is sort of this generation that we're in right now of like oppression being currency. I bet there are people right now who actively seek out dating like non-binary or trans people just to say that they date somebody who's non-binary or trans. 100%. It's gotta be a thing. Gotta.
Like, I am a girl. I want to have like my own little moment where I could just get my own Prince Charming and stuff like that and just have a normal, you know, relationship like the rest of these cis girls.
For me, like, I've normally only dated cis girls. I've been fetishized, like, probably a couple of times. Like, they say, oh, yeah, I'm bi, and then like, they, like, see me as, like, a girl or something. And it's so bizarre, but I've...
You know, on the scale of bizarre, it doesn't really strike me as being that bizarre, because what you're doing, like I said, is relatively new. You are a woman who is identifying as man or non-binary. I'm not sure in this case. I'll have to go back because they'll show the pronouns when they talk again or whatever. But that would be a totally natural response to see a woman who identifies as a man, or they, them, who is overtly very masculine but clearly feminine underneath, and go, well, yeah, I'm just bisexual, but I like dating masculine women. That seems natural. It seems like the least bizarre response out of all the responses one could have. Any thoughts, Taylor?
Taylor's just like...
What's he saying is bizarre? Or this person saying? I don't know what
okay.
they're...
I'm assuming this is a biological woman who identifies as a man. She's saying, like, if I date a woman, she says she's bisexual. But she's, like, saying, like, I like both genders, but I'm dating, like, a masculine female, or I'm dating, you know what I mean? Like, they're using it as, like, a sexuality trait when she's just saying, no, I'm a man, and you're dating a man. You know what I mean?
Oh, so... It's like, accept the fact that I identify as a man. That is what man is.
Right.
And
so technically you're a straight girl if you're dating me, because you're dating a man. But the girls are saying I'm bisexual. Well, the tangled webs we weave, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
the tangled webs.
I'm assuming that you will accept my reality, and there's no... To me, it's the same thing as, like, assuming there's nothing wrong with trans women playing in sports, again, competing against
right.
other
right.
females, or not, or other women, mm-hmm. actual females. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're not factoring in the reality in this case of men and women since time immemorial, dating each other in a cis hetero sort of way, or just in a cis way,
right.
And you're like assuming that you're adopting my entire worldview about sex and gender, and you're just automatically have to start from that place that I'm starting from, or else you're bigoted. And that's
right.
the flaw in the logic.
And that's the hard part. Like, I'm reading the chat right now, and a lot of you are saying, like, I need a chart to keep up. I'm not understanding. Yeah. This is making no sense to me. Like, how do people keep up with this? And that's another part of this for me too, is that it's become political messaging to believe in this stuff, to entrench yourself in this stuff, and then something that is clearly hard to understand, when people don't understand it, you're like, how dare you not understand what I'm saying to you right now? When, yeah, it's a little difficult. It's a little right. difficult.
It's like, you've introduced this new pseudoscientific, quasi-religious worldview, and then you're expecting everyone else to just automatically be on the same page, or else you have a free pass to shame them, or assume that they're a bigot, or paint them in that light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, we're just still living in reality. You're the one who's kind of coming with the different ideas and the weird stuff, and it's the ability to, like, gaslight and make you them. They make you think that you're something's wrong with you, that you're judgmental for just living in the real world.
Right.
That is really frustrating.
It's a little frustrating, y'all. Before we move on and watch more of the video, I do want to let you guys know, if you want to sign up for my email list, well, you get an exclusive monthly video from me, subscriber only content. You can go to the description down below, click that. All you got to do is put in your email. You also get updates on Unapologetic. We've got an Unapologetic Discord that we're creating for you guys, so you guys can talk to one another, pick topics for the show, pick guests for the show, and just keep up to date with me, despite all the censorship that is currently happening. Like, I'm currently being censored on Instagram for posting stuff that's not even political. My regular everyday Instagram stories are getting taken down, probably by trolls who are continuously reporting my stuff. So it'd be good to communicate with you guys through Discord. So sign up for the email list down below. Also, if you send in super chats today, we will be reading them at the end of the show. So feel free to send in a super chat if you'd like, and we'll get to that.
Recently ever, like, dated someone who's not cis, and they identify as non-binary, and that relationship taught me so much, because I feel like they really saw me, like, for who I am, and, like, they were the most aware person.
I've only been with one cis person, and it was a girl, and I feel like, if anything, girls are super understanding, but I'm still open to a cis person. Like, it depends on the person, really. Like, I'm not looking for a trans person, I'm just looking for a good person.
Solid answer. Good for you. You're not looking for a trans person, I'm just looking for a good person. Solid.
You should be able to medically transition before adulthood.
Okay, you should be able to medically transition before adulthood. Y'all know how I feel about this. I'm gonna go on the strongly disagree. Taylor.
Yeah, go watch our video about this.
Yeah, we do have a full video on transitioning children. We did a whole special about it, going actually into the research that many have done on the subject matter itself and what other countries have decided is the right way to go about this. And they've decided that, no, we don't do this with minors. We don't do this with anybody below the age of 18. So just to give you a little bit of background, just my quick points on this one, these are irreversible decisions that we're putting some children through, and children just do not have the mental capacity to make a decision like that. Like I told you guys, this is coming from you, from me, who I told you about who I was at, you know, 15, coming out as bisexual, all these things. We go through throes, all of us do, as young people, as kids, and as teenagers, and even as adults, we go through throes. To think that somebody below the age of 18 can make a decision like what their gender is unbelievable to me. And just imagine asking your 15-year-old what job they want to have for the rest of their life and having them answer that question, and then they have to stick to what they gave you at 15 years old. We would look at something like that and go, ugh, absolutely not. But because gender is such a sensitive subject, and because there's so many new conversations surrounding the subject matter itself, now we're saying that kids can make these choices and have this decision. We're really moving away from logic in this sense, and I'm hoping at least some of them agree with what I've just said, but we will see, and I have a feeling we're going to get a YouTube ad here as well.
Three,
so let's see.
Three, two, one.
Oh, right when they move over, we're going to get the YouTube ad. Anyways, yeah, I'm... You know, it's hard to ask people who have already made the decision what they're going to say for children. You know, like Rachel Levine, our assistant health secretary right now, who is totally pro-transitioning children, but is also a trans person who has gone down the route and path of medical transition. Of course, you're going to say, yeah, I think children should be able to do the same. I think we've only heard from a few transgender people who have said, no, I don't think kids should make that decision. Buck Angel, for those mm-hmm. of you who don't know who he is, a transgender man who says, no, children should not be able to make that decision. And I made the decision for myself as an adult. It's not for kids. Let's see where they move.
A lot of us, we have realized that this is what's best for us, like as kids, and it's all about your mental health and well-being. But also, that being said, I think it's also important that this is what you really want, because it's going to be a life-changing decision, and behind that there should be a lot of evaluations and a lot of affirmations.
That's big.
I mean, it's like, it's a balanced answer given the situation. Like, given that you've already decided to identify as transgender, the issue is, who defines what really want means? You know, my 6-year-old daughter in the future might really, really want to be a boy, and might really say, Mom, I really, really want to be a boy. At what point does that become something that you need to affirm as a parent, is the question, because kids, they just don't know. They just don't know.
Yeah, and no, it's like, how do you come to the point where you understand that this person is able to make this life-altering, lifelong decision? So again, how many 15-year-olds are prepared to do something that is going to controversial to me to even, like, you know, some countries will have like a apprenticeship type of system where you at 15, 16 years old, you start being a chocolatier in France, and then mm-hmm. you're just on that career path for the rest of your life. And it kind of boxes you in. I don't know if that's like the American in me who wants to like have the world of opportunity
sure.
open and whatever. And I'm sure there's ways you can like get out of that box later in life. But this, we're talking about something that is like, you alter your physical body, you risk sterilization, and to allow a 15-year-old to make that decision, 16, 17, like it's irreversible, and mm-hmm. it's just not, I don't see the logic that's there.
Right, right. So you can give a balanced answer to this question, but how balanced is it when we're talking about kids sterilizing themselves, really, is where I'm at.
Basically what I was going to say, it's like, it depends where you're at. You have to be at a certain place and like make sure like you're really ready, but I do think it would help so many trans kids' mental health if they mm-hmm. were able to transition before 18. Mm-hmm.
I'm dying to get on hormones, and I do agree that kids like should be able to get like hormones and go through HRT, but like there's also like a little part of me that's like, what if they end up changing their mind?
Great question, and I'm glad that they're being honest about having that question pop in their mind, because I think a lot of people won't have that part of the conversation. And again, if you go watch the special that we did on this, the numbers are stark. We're talking about 70% of children going through, you know, this phasal period of thinking that they are non-conforming to a certain gender, or thinking that they are transgender and going through the gender dysmorphia issue, or gender dysphoria issue, and then going, oh, actually, oof, got over that. I'm so glad I didn't go on hormones. I'm so glad I didn't get sex reassignment surgery. So we're talking stark numbers when it comes to changing minds.
Like when I was 13, I thought I was a trans man, and then I was like, nah. And then I was like, wait. So it was like, for me, it was just like a lot of like questioning and going through different identities until I found what felt right. And like at the point I'm at right now, like I don't even know if I want to go on like HRT. So if I would have went on that when I was like 13, I don't know. I don't think I would have regretted it, but it was like, I'm glad that I like internalized a lot of it and like went through it within myself.
Mm. I think as long as we educate children on like the risk on transitioning very young, like medically transitioning very young, and they're educated on the process, I think children should be able to choose whether or not they want to transition young.
That's so interesting. Cause like how educated can you be on a set of experimental procedures? Like how possibly educated can you be when we still have doctors getting educated on the process? Like we still have not decided as a country whether or not this is the right thing to do. I believe the United States only has one study that's been done on transgenderism as far as transitioning that has been nonpartisan. One single one. All of the others have been funded by one or another side of the aisle on this. The other countries that have done nonpartisan studies of this, Sweden, Finland, France, have all decided children should not be able to make these decisions. And if they do, it has to be the most extreme cases. We're talking a kid who will not stop, has attempted suicide because they're not being affirmed, and is just stuck in gender dysphoria. So how can you truly educate a child on that decision? A 7-year-old kid is not going to understand what sterilization means. Is not going to understand, hey, kiddo, you're not going to be able to have kids when the time comes, when you grow old and you get married and you decide, I'd love to start a family. That's not going to be a decision that you're going to be able to make. Also, here are the possible side effects of these surgeries that you're going to go through. Also, we don't know all the side effects of the surgeries that we're putting you through here. And I would love to do an in-depth episode about surgical side effects to gender transitioning, but it's honestly so gruesome to talk about that I don't know that it would stay up on YouTube. Like, there are some crazy sex-related things that happen with these surgeries, bacterial infections, malformations that come from these surgeries that just nobody seems to want to touch on and bring light to. Yet we're saying that we could educate children. And when they say kids, we are talking young, young kids. We're talking, you know, like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Were you able to comprehend side effects at 7 years old? I was not.
No, and you're right. We don't have the research. And then we're not sure that we can communicate it or that kids can truly understand it. And then also, we're not communicating the risks to them
right.
In schools and on TikTok and social media and the zeitgeist right now in the mainstream media. There's no one drawing attention to the stories of detransitioners, for example. Contrast that with like sex ed in school. Everyone supports that. Mm-hmm. Hey, we need to educate people about the risk factors of STDs and pregnancy associated with having sex. Everyone wants to support that. Why is there no education about detransitioners? You should have to watch like 5 detransitioner stories before you even consider doing this. You should have to understand how the surgery, the risk and the success rate of the surgeries, and then what can go wrong, and then what the consequences are going to be for you and your body. And then, but we're, so not only can we not effectively communicate these to kids or know that we can, so that they can make an informed decision, but we're not trying to communicate that in general in the culture right now. It's let's de-emphasize any negativity around this because we need to radically affirm people and they need to be more comfortable with this. And you don't get any honest communication around this. And I think that's a huge part that's missing from this conversation.
Right, dude. I just could not imagine. Like, I've tried to sit and like put myself in the head of somebody who has gone through this whole process and then it hasn't worked for them. And I can't do it. That's something true to this conversation. You know, people who say like, cisgendered people will never truly understand the inner turmoil that we are going through with our gender. You know what? I 100% agree, because I sit and try to fathom what you must be going through to make a decision like that. And I can't. I literally cannot. And I to get to the end of that road and find out that the surgeries didn't help must be devastating. Like, there's no, it's no wonder to me why the suicide rates and the rates of mental illness are so high. That would be devastating. My teachers are accepting of my pronouns. Well, I can't answer this one. I'm not in school.
I went to UCI for a quarter, and they were very understanding, and like they don't really like ask questions. But in high school, it was definitely a struggle because like my name was a different name on the roster, and then like I would have to explain. Especially like my Spanish teacher, she had like such like Catholic beliefs, and like she would pull me aside and like ask questions, and it was really sweet of her to like try to understand, but it was also hard for them to like remember like in class and stuff like that. So it was kind of a struggle.
I'm honestly really thankful that they really did try to find a way to like make trans people feel a bit more comfortable in the school. Like right now I'm taking like a ballet and Pilates class, and I totally thought it was gonna be, oh, but you were like born male, so you have to do like masculine presenting stuff, which I was like really afraid of, but I'm so glad that they're like really accepting.
I go to UC Berkeley right now, and I get misgendered there like on a daily basis. Like
I think we lost the picture.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about this.
It's a lot to chew on.
Yeah. So I, you know what? I'm like approaching this with the utmost sympathy. If you had a different reality in your head and you wanted people to accept that, and you go to a place where they're like, yeah, totally. You're a girl. She, her. Dope. Yeah. Join the girls' Pilates class. Whatever. I bet that feels really good, and I bet that's super cool, and I bet that takes away a little bit of the struggle that you probably go through every single day, because I can imagine, for me, even as somebody who would be like, oh yeah, I'll respect your pronouns, I would F that stuff up all the time. Like, I'd be like, I'm so sorry, you look like a woman, I don't know what to tell you. So the issue becomes when you expect your reality to dictate other people's reality. Like, if being misgendered upsets you to the point where you have to stay home, which we've seen in other videos of college students being like, I can't even believe you're asking me these questions. I have to go home for the day. Or that it upsets you so much that you cannot function normally within society. It's, to me, that's not society's problem. That's an internal thing that you yourself needs to deal with. If I came out tomorrow and said I'm non-binary and I would love for people to address me as they, them, for me to then expect everybody who I know and everybody who I encounter to do that is a ridiculous ask of other people, because I don't look like a they, them. I look like a she, her. And that's what people are going to address me as, because that's what's normal for people and that's what has been normal for the past, I don't know, as long as humans have existed. So to expect it of other people is just, you know, begs the question, can I look inside myself and really make this ask of other people? And is that realistic? And if it's not realistic and I still have a struggle where it causes me such depression to be misgendered, what's going on with me that I can't accept that about myself?
Yeah. My pastor, interestingly enough, to this weekend talked about the difference between like old school tolerance and new and modern tolerance. And we don't even hear that word very much these days of tolerance in general. But tolerance used to mean we may disagree, but we can agree to disagree. And I'm still going to tolerate you. I'm still going to, you know, coexist at peace with you. And now it means all viewpoints are equally valid. And that's just, you can't live in a world, there is truth, and truth is the arbiter between what's valid and what's not. Mm-hmm. But whenever someone's persuaded you that the objective truth about science, about gender, about biology, about gender, about sex, about biology is not true, and that your inner world supersedes that objective scientific reality, then we have a problem, because now it's not intolerant for me to say, hey, look, I want to be nice to you. I don't have anything against you as a person, but I'm not going to acknowledge this reality as the reality. I accept you. That doesn't mean I don't accept you. It just means the ideas that you believe in, I don't agree with. I don't think that they correspond to what's true and what we know. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily make me a bigot immediately, or that doesn't make me hateful or unaccepting or anything like that. I can still accept you as a person and disagree with how you're thinking about the world and how you're thinking about yourself. But we don't have room for that at old school tolerance anymore.
No, because then you get the like the retort of well, you don't even think I exist as a person if you don't acknowledge these pronouns. You've then invalidated my entire existence. Right. And it's like, dude, you exist, right? You are a human being. You're standing right in front of me. We're having this conversation. You exist. But I'm not going to let a homeboy go in the girls' bathroom. And I'm not going to let a man compete against women in the swim team
right.
who clearly has biological advantages. I'm not saying you don't exist. You totally exist. We just have separate realities that we are seemingly living in. And it's weird to even say it's separate realities. It's just like, I don't even know, just separate definitions of everything that we're living in.
And if you're so confident that your way is the right way of viewing things, then why do you need me to affirm it? I'm not the arbiter of reality in your view. Mm-hmm. So why do you need me to be the one who's to acknowledge everything and,
right.
and agree to everything on your terms? And you can't have a successful, pluralistic, functioning society where one side is trying to, who views things a certain way, is trying to beat the other side into submission over this. This is not going to work.
It's just not
going to work. You have to agree on a shared reality.
Yep. And dude, I feel like the tide's changing on this because I'll watch like these sort of like left-leaning videos that are talking about this and all of the comments are like, I'm so sorry. I cannot get behind this. I cannot. This is not real.
And that's not hateful.
It's not hateful. It's just saying, hey, I get it, but no.
Introduce myself to the teacher and I'll be like, I go by they, them pronouns. By the way, I'm non-binary. Like, please respect my pronouns. And like within two times like, that I'm in the classroom, they'll go back to using she, her pronouns. And like other classmates will also misgender me. And it gets just really mentally taxing at a point. And so I kind of just like stop trying as much. Because like it's just mentally exhausting having to realize like no one sees you as non-binary because you still have like feminine qualities about yourself.
At least she's aware. It's you look like
a
female.
I have come out more than once.
Okay, I have come out more than once. No, I have not. I strongly disagree. Only the one time. Hey, mom, I'm bisexual. Well, back to straight. But I didn't come out for that. So.
Oh, what about coming out as a conservative?
Oh. Twice. I strongly agree. I've had to come out more than once.
Got her.
Taylor, have you ever come out before in your life of anything?
I'm trying to think of a clever answer here, but I'm just going to say no.
No? Okay, fair enough. You guys answer in the comments down below. Also, I did ask in my community post today, have you guys ever questioned your sexuality? We'll get to that after we get to some of the answers here.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, 3, 2, 1 in an ad from YouTube. They get you every time. This is capitalism, baby. Okay.
I've come out multiple times, like not just like for my like trans experience, but for like my sexuality as well. Cause I came out as like pansexual, then I came out as bi, and then I was just came out as non-binary before I came out as trans. I'm like, oh my God, like how many, when am I gonna get it right, y'all? Like,
yeah, same. I think I went through like 4 or 5 different sexualities and then I was like, wait. And then I just feel like presenting more androgynous, it is the struggle of like coming out every day and being like, hey, like I know I look this way, but this is like what I am, this is how I feel. Yeah. And like, you can respect it or not, like honestly, and it's just, I feel like it's gonna be forever.
Okay, pause. Yo, contradiction from the last set of questioning we just went through of can kids choose their gender to this. They're like, yeah, so long as the kids really want it, just like make sure they really want it and then start putting them on hormones and HRT and all this stuff. Okay, hormones and HRT are the same thing, but... And then you're asking them, have you ever come out more than once? Oh, yeah, I went from this identity to this one, and then this sexuality to this one. And she just said, I think this is going to be forever of questioning and changing and shifting and all that. How do those two ideas exist in the same realm? Probably because they're young. But there are several adults that feel the same way about this of, oh, I went through this whole journey with my sexuality and with my identity, and I picked this one and this one and this one and this one. But... your 4-year-old knows what gender they are, and you should respect that. Tell me. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. Because it's not clicking, Steven.
I feel like I have to come out, like, every single day, just, like, with new people I meet in my life. Like, I'm constantly having to be like, oh, yeah, my name's Mandy. I'm non-binary. I go by they, them pronouns. Please respect those pronouns, or this is not, like, a safe space for me.
I get the, like...
She seems to have a little... I'm sensing a little hostility from this girl. She's keeping it cool. She's keeping it under wraps, but I'm feeling a little bit of hostility surrounding her identity, which non-binary even more new than being trans. Like, let's go ahead and put that out there. That's even more new. And to, like, have an even newer identity and expect everybody to morph to it and not think that you're going to have to come out 1,000 times a day it's kind of a little bit ridiculous. I'm not trying to be harsh, but it's a little bit ridiculous. And let's think about this. Like, think about America and like the 1950s and being a gay man in the 1950s and just like the inability to come out of the closet to now shifting. The problem is I have to come out of the closet too many times a day. How wild is that? Like, to be a man growing up in the 1950s who's homosexual or whatever and being like, I can never come out of the closet. I'll get beaten or my dad will disown me or all this stuff. And now the issue is, like, you're coming out too often and you have to talk to too many people about your sexuality. What progress we've made that these are the problems. But there's no reference for that. Like, people aren't acknowledging that that's how progressive our society has become. We're just looking at that and going, well, this is regression. This is people not accepting us. What to that I say, what a good problem to have, that you have to come out 1,000 times a day.
Like, telling people on like a daily basis, like anyone you meet, like I want people to know immediately that I'm trans because I don't want to bring it up later on and have it be an issue with them. I feel like smart. I only came out once because after the first time I kind of made it visible and I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to have to come out again. And I thankfully had very supportive people in my life that like I could have came out to again, but I felt a lot more comfortable just kind of like living my life and having people just like accept what I'm doing with my life without, you know, coming out again.
Good for you.
Cisgender individuals do not understand my struggles.
Well, I am a cisgender individual, so I can't answer this question. But like I said before, I totally do not understand. I mean, like, I understand on the basis of, you know, research, studying what people are talking about and the conversations that they're having, the outcomes of this sort of stuff. But I will never understand waking up in the morning and being like, this is not the body I'm supposed to be in. You know, we all go through those little body image issues, you know, like, oh, this is not my body. I'm meant to be skinnier than this. Or I look fat, or I don't like my nose, or I don't like the way that I look, or I'm not as pretty as my friends and all this stuff. So I think to a certain extent, we all go through a certain amount of just like dysphoric nature with our bodies and not being comfortable with who we are and what body we're in. But as far as a gender perspective, which again, is just new, no, I do not.
3, 2, 1.
Personally, my friends try to empathize, and I really appreciate that for them. But personally, I think that cis people take for granted, you know, their gender euphoria. Getting ready in the morning and looking at yourself and having the absence of distress. Like, when I get up and I get ready and I look at myself physically, like, I'm distressed. Like, I don't look like the person I was just dreaming I was, you know?
Like, I've known people that were cis and then would kind of be, like, transphobic towards me. And then after a few years, they start transitioning and they're like, oh, I understand now. And, like, it wasn't until they were going through it and really felt the pain of it that they were able to understand.
I try to think of just, like, the whole entire spectrum of just, like, cis people who are, like, identifying female, but for some reason their bodies present more masculine. I feel like they can have that sort of point of view that can help them sympathize and empathize for you more.
Good.
It's all about like the spectrum and just how there's just so many nuances.
Interesting. I don't, not very much to say there, but yeah, I would agree with most of what they just said. Even the point of cisgendered people take for granted waking up in the body that they like or that they identify with. You could point to anything. I wake up in the morning and take for granted that I woke up in the morning. I woke up in the morning and I took for granted that I'm sleeping underneath a roof. You know, we are all taking for granted things, and we're all taking for granted the current state of our mental health. We're probably all 600 of you are taking for granted that you're watching me on YouTube right now, and we all live pretty cushy lives where we're able to watch podcasts. You could say that for anything. I don't think that's a knock on people who are born in the body that they accept and that they identify with, but it certainly does speak to a lack of understanding on that, which again, I agree. Any thoughts, Taylor?
No, we can keep going.
Okay.
If I wasn't trans. 3, 2, 1.
My whole thing is like, I'm already like a person of color.
Life would be easier if I wasn't trans. Dude, I don't know. This one's a little toughy one with the whole oppression Olympics we got going on right now.
Spicy take.
This might be a little hot take. It is sometimes easier to identify with an oppressed class in today's day and age. However, you get the caveat of like identifying with this oppressed class means you identify with the oppression, victimhood, whatever comes subsequent of being a member of said group. So it's hard to separate the two things and be like, you know, is life actually easier because I'm trans? I'm sure there are instances where it is easier. You know, trans is a little bit of a harder thing to talk about. Like, life is easier for me because I'm black. And people are going to be, you know, up in arms about me saying that. Life is easier for me because I'm black. I apply to a school, getting in because I'm black. Apply for a job, getting it because I'm black. I say things validated because I'm black. I speak to something, oh, well, that's a black opinion, so I take that opinion above others. That is true. As far as trans, I think there's a little bit of a higher barrier for entry when it comes to life being easier because, you know, by and large, people have accepted the ideas about race all across America. I don't think as many people are jumping in on the bandwagon for transgenderism and gender theory. You know, this is why we're having the debates, we're having these conversations, people are talking about transitioning kids. It's because people are going, no, that's not rational, that's not reasonable. So I don't know that it would be easier. But there are things that would be easier. Like, there's certainly certain groups of people that are going to accept you harder than anybody else and do all these different things for you because you identify as trans.
I wasn't non-binary, I'd be a woman, so like life is not going to be easy for me. And I just feel like that it wouldn't be the same, but it wouldn't be necessarily easier.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying about being a person of color and being queer, but you know, like I've been through so much horrible shit, and like personally, like my life would be easier if I was cis. I mean, a defining part of who I am is definitely being trans, but every day I do wonder, you know, what if I was actually born a cis like female, you know?
Yeah, I hate that I still think a lot of the time, like, I wonder what life would be like if I was cis, or I kind of wish I was cis. Like, I know I wouldn't be where I am, and I wouldn't know almost anyone in my life if I wasn't trans, and if I didn't go through the struggles I went through. I hate that every week I have to, like, inject my hormones. Like, I get so angry that, like, cis people get it for free.
See, we don't get it for free. We're just born the sex we were born as, and you've decided to deviate. I'm just gonna throw out another hot take, but maybe we'll save it for another video. I'm not gonna throw out that hot take today. What's interesting is how the dynamic changes for me depending on how people look, and maybe this is a whole different episode that we can do on this. There's something about this girl guy. Biological female who identifies as male talking that does something different because looks like a man, straight up looks like a man. You know, if you saw this person passing the street, you'd be like, that's a dude, right? I don't think I would question in my brain whether or not that's a woman or a man. So there's something that the brain does that just makes it a little different to hear from a person who's like, oh, yeah, you look like a dude, bro. And nobody's going to treat you any different. The only thing that's different for this person is what they have to do behind the scenes, which is injecting the hormones. So that's a whole nother topic we could explore. It's like being a trans person who looks like the gender that you actually identify as and being one who doesn't, and how that changes your life and your experience. Because looking at these two, like, these are both people who I'm assuming identify as male. The one on the right with the red hair, yeah, I pass you on the street, you look like a boy. The one on the left, I'm like, that's a girl. That's a girl.
Yeah, I just think of how you say, in reference to the race stuff, you say, who convinced you that you're a victim? Uh-huh. And I think the same logic kind of applies in this discussion, is like, who convinced you that your sexuality, you need to stake your entire sense of identity on it? Like, as I'm watching this, I'm like, I'm sure that these are very interesting, talented, unique, beautiful people who have unique things to contribute to the world.
Yeah.
Beyond, way outside the way, that have nothing to do with their sexuality.
Nothing to do with it, dude.
I wonder, though, how much of their potential will not be realized because they're so hyper-focused on this gender stuff and so focused on being a victim and so focused on how the entire struggle of their life is all about getting society to adopt my ideology rather than, hey, what's my hero's journey? What am I uniquely created, given innate abilities? What are my talents? What are my passions? And how can I make the world a better place with what I have to offer? What do I have to bring? That is the struggle of life. And that's like what you're talking about with rejecting the victim mentality. It's like, as you know, people take me more seriously, but I don't need them to because I have an advantage because I'm not worried about the oppression Olympics. Yep. I'm playing just by the world's my oyster, and I'm just going to go out there and let my potential be realized. And the fact that people are giving me an artificial boost just because I'm black, I don't even want that. It seems unjust, but sure, okay, let's run with it, and I'm just going to have an even greater impact. But the way that these people are just like framing themselves as, you know, my whole life narrative is reduced to this struggle around my sexuality rather than you have so much more to offer. You have so much more potential. And I believe in you. I want great things for you. I want you to be happy. But you're not going to find it by trying to persuade the world to accept this ideology. That's never going to happen. And the reality of sex and all this stuff is not going to change. So, like, you're a grown adult. You do whatever you want to do with your sexuality. That's fine. And I will accept you as a human being. And I want, like, and I believe you have a valid and great things to offer the world as a human being. And I'd love to see what those are, but I'm not interested in your sexuality, and I'm tired of hearing about it and talking about it. And I'm sorry.
It's so crazy because, like, my response to that is, like, my response to all these teenagers, like, you know, when this whole trans debate goes away and you really get to leave your life without being bothered by anybody is when you stop talking about it. If people just transitioned, right, and never said a peep about it, right, never told people, these are my new pronouns and I want you to respect it, here's a sign that says I get to use whatever bathroom I want to use, here's all the surgeries I went through and I want kids to be able to do, like, if you never got into those conversations and you just went about your merry way, did the thing you were going to do and then lived your life, we would not be having a debate about it.
That would be progress.
Like, nobody would really bat an eye. Like, I'm sure you'd get people who are like, whoa, what's going on over there? Like, that's a guy who looks like a biological man, but is kind of looking a little bit like a woman. Like, there would certainly be looks like that, a snicker here and there or whatever, but it would not be just like the snowball effect debates that we're having right now. If you just simply did your thing and was like, yeah, I did my thing. What's it to you? And that's the thing. It's like, wrapped in all of this is just like this insecurity of people don't accept me, so I'm not real. And if you got rid of that insecurity, which of course is such a hard thing to do as a teenager, we're all insecure about whatever it is we are wrapped up in. Mm-hmm. But if you just got rid of that insecurity and you just like swaggered through your life and like, this is who I am, F you.
Yeah.
People would just be like, oh, okay, oh, fucking dude.
And the irony is the harder you go into this ideology, the more a prisoner you are to this insecurity, and the harder, the more you'll only ever find meaning by fighting to have more people accept the ideology rather than you asserting yourself over the people who disagree with you or over the people who oppose your views or whatever and would try to hold you back and just like, no, I'm not going to let you affect me. You know, screw that. I'm going to go be who I'm going to be and live my life. Right. And that. I'm going to assert myself over the setbacks and the sufferings I have to face and the lack of acceptance. And that is self-realization. Mm-hmm. That is self-confidence. That's overcoming insecurity.
Yeah.
You're not going to overcome insecurity about your body or dysmorphia that you feel by like leaning harder into the ideology that's made you a prisoner in the first place.
Yeah, dude, I relate to that so hard because you guys know that was me. I was like, I'm black, I'm a female, life is going to be so hard or whatever, even though I was like, triumphant over all of these things I had made up in my head. I was like, this is my struggle. This is my life. This is the thing I talk about day in and day out or whatever. And you just dig yourself a hole and it's just like, deeper and deeper every single day. And then it's like, oh, you want to get out of it? I'm so sorry. You're already like halfway to China. And that's exactly what it is. And if I had just been like, yeah, whatever. I'm black. I'm female. I'm living in a mostly white spot. Fuck it. I'm going to go do my job. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to do really good. I'm going to do my thing, which is what I did anyways. But with all of the victimhood mentality, like, toppled and caked onto it, it's just like a mess. And you could be so much more fulfilled and so much like less insecure, less anxious about literally everything.
Yeah. And like, look at Gen Z and all the anxiety and everything that they're inheriting this worldview. They're being sold this lie that is keeping them from realizing their actual potential and actually contributing something to the world. And that's how we talk about like there is no great struggle for the younger generation of our time. And it feels like we're so lost in this navel-gazing modern culture that we're just worried about inward self and identity politics and intersectionality and oppression Olympics. And we're not worried about, again, lifting our eyes, looking around, and it's like, hey, well, look at the legacy that we've inherited of this unique country, this unique freedom to not give a shit about the rest of the world and what they think and what other people think about you and hold you back. Let's build on that. Let's carry that torch further and pass it on to our children. And what can we do with our generation? This is our opportunity. And instead it's about my gender. It's about my race. It's about my sex. It's about, you know, it's like, dude, no one cares. And no one in history is going to care about this.
No, nope.
It's like a wasted opportunity of an entire generation. It's like, we need more people like you to wake up and just like, come on, guys, let's go make something of ourselves. Let's build something. Let's do something great. Let's achieve. Let's overcome.
And like older generations didn't have that opportunity. It was like, no, I'm sorry, you're 17 and you're literally going to war. You're go pack your stuff up. Also get married really quick. Also have the kid and you're off. So it's like, I'm not advocating that we have that reality of like have some sense of impending doom that gets rid of the current woes of our society, but there is something to be said for that. Like other generations just simply did not have the time.
No.
Did not have the luxury.
Yeah. And I mean, look at the art and great like mythologies of the past of like, you know, just basic hero's journey, like our movies and stuff. There was a call to adventure. There was a call to like, hey, you will find yourself by overcoming the adversity you faced rather than letting it make you a victim. And then it's all about you and how oppressed you are and how the system is holding you back and the big bad world is out to get you. It's like, and then it just keeps you in that cycle of victimhood until you can tear the whole system down and rebuild something better with your great wisdom that all you've ever done is be a victim. It's like, what is good is going to come out of that? Instead of like, dude, no, like be something, do something great, overcome the circumstances that you find yourself in and assert yourself, your talent and bring forth the unique contribution that you have to offer to the world. Bring that out. And that's what I want for the people in this video.
100%. And I don't think we need to even finish up the video. I think that's where we close out today's conversation with that little nugget of wisdom, shall we call it? Yeah. To people who are like I was when I was 16, 17, all that fun stuff, who are like these teenagers in this video right now, which I'm sure a lot of you identify with them. And if you don't identify with them now, you did when you were a teenager. Think about if all the problems you could fathom in your head got fixed tomorrow, what are you doing next? What are you contributing to the world? What is your thing to give? And can you do that thing that you would do tomorrow today? While all these problems exist, while all these oppressive weights are holding you down, if the answer is yes, get on it. Start doing it. Don't focus on the oppression that you're facing right now, because that's what everybody in history has ever done. It's how civilizations survive. That's how cultures survive. That's how people move from generation A to generation B. So what could you be doing tomorrow that you can actually do today? That's the question to ask yourself. And I think that's where we close out. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this video. If you see other videos that we should watch and sort of you want a hot take on and that we can go and look at and react to, drop them in the comments down below. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we go live. That's 3 p.m. Pacific on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern for those of you on the East Coast. Also, if you'd like an exclusive monthly video from me, considering signing up for my email list. It's down below in the description. You also get invited to our Discord where you guys can talk in amongst yourselves, join a little community of free thinkers who are having these conversations day in and day out. You don't got to be conservative. You could be left-leaning, you could be centrist, you could be, I don't know, I'm politically homeless. And you can also join our email list and our Discord and also have a conversation in the comments down below. What do I want the comment of the day to be? Let's extend our community poll, which I will actually go pull up so you guys can see what people were saying. I asked you guys if you ever question your sexuality. 66,000 of you voted. 18% said yes. 82% said no, which is actually more than I thought was going to say yes. So that's pretty interesting. There's some interesting comments down there, but let's extend the conversation down to the comments below. Answer the question, have you ever questioned your sexuality or did you go through a certain phase as a teen? And what was that phase? We talked about mine, bisexuality and blackness and Taylor in his Christian cult.
Sure. Yeah.
So what was your thing as a teenager?
I would love
to read that because we all had our thing. Drop that in the comments down below. And I believe that's our show for today. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll have more content for you tomorrow and throughout the week. And I'll see you on Wednesday live. Bye, guys.